Was that you, Lord? That's the title. Was that you, Lord? How many of us have said that before? Was that you, Lord? How many want to know, really know God's voice? And to be able to distinguish His voice? We are able to distinguish one another when we've had fellowship together and we've gotten acquainted. And I mentioned this morning, you know, if my wife is in the next room and she was with a bunch of ladies talking and I was listening in, I could pick her voice out, certainly because of the accent. But I would pick her voice out of the crowd because I recognize her. Why? Because we are intimate. We know each other. And God wants us to know His voice so that we will not be led astray by the other voices that are speaking into our lives. It's very important that you know when Jesus is speaking, amen, by the Holy Spirit, and whether it's of God or not. And so tonight, I want to just continue from where we began this morning in distinguishing the voice of God and knowing how to hear. You know, we need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. But if you're like me, often I'm quick to speak and slow to listen, especially when it comes to prayer. But in our daily lives, in our daily walk, we need to be listeners. We need to be tuned in to the voice of the shepherd. And we need to be able to distinguish His voice. If you cannot distinguish His voice, then you're going to be confused. And you're going to be led astray by all the other voices that are speaking into your life. And they're speaking sometimes with an inaudible voice. They're speaking in your thought life. Or they're speaking through people. Or they're speaking through media. There's all kinds of voices that are speaking and trying to get our attention. In the midst of all that, there is a still small voice that belongs to the Good Shepherd, the lover of our souls. His name is Jesus, and He wants us to know His voice and to be able to distinguish His voice so that when He speaks to us, we'll say, ah, the Lord is speaking to me. God wants us to go from the place of constantly saying, was that God? And asking other people, do you think that was God speaking to me? To the place where you know when God is speaking to you. Because, folks, you know as well as I do that there are many people who are hearing voices that they think are God. And it's not Jesus. It's another Jesus. It's a counterfeit. It's another spirit. But they think God's speaking to them. And so often we think because we had the thought that it must be from God. We're so spiritual, you know. If it was my thought, then it must be right. And the Bible says that every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but it's the Lord who weighs the heart. So God is the one, amen, who will reveal truth to us. You can't really know what's authentic except by the truth, amen, the one who is the truth. And so we've got to hear His voice. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what? These, right? These are the sons of God. Those are the sons of God. Not people who are led by their own impulses, who are selfishly ambitious, but people who are led by the Holy Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. So we've got to know His voice in order to be led by His voice. And so we were given some instructions in the book, the good book, amen, which is our main guide here, to know how to distinguish God's voice from that of another. And sometimes we're just not sure. So let's take a look tonight quickly back into James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Folks, if we are in the midst of voices and we're not able to distinguish the true voice of Jesus, how many know that you're going to be living in a place of confusion and deception? And it says that where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy or sincere. So this portion of Scripture contains a wealth of insight into discerning the voice of the Lord. And we need to look at it once again briefly. We're going to go through these and then we're going to move on to how that applies in a church, how it applies in the exercise of God's gifts in the church. The wisdom from above, first of all, it says that it is a pure thing. If God is speaking to you, it's going to be pure. In other words, it's going to be a godly instruction. It's going to be pure. It's going to be holy. It's going to be an instruction that is in line with who God is, God's character. And you know God's character through the Word, amen, and through the Spirit. Secondly, we need to know if this leading is from the Lord, if it is peace-loving, and if it brings peace, it's a good indication, okay, that it's from the Lord. Thirdly, is it gentle, and is it considerate of others? Whenever God does something, He does it with consideration, doesn't He? He's considerate. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Fourthly, is this leading submissive? Is it willing to yield? If others don't bear witness to what I'm thinking or what I believe, will I try to force it to happen or will I try to push to get my way? How many have ever tried to push to get your way? Come on, let's see those hands tonight, right? We've tried to push, and sometimes with a good thing, a godly thing even, we've tried to push it. But the Holy Spirit will not force Himself on us. He will not force Himself. If you don't want God, you won't have God. If you don't want to go deeper into God, you won't. If you don't want to praise Him, you won't. God won't force Himself. But if you want to go deeper into God, you really want to know Him, and you want to experience Him in the reality of His person, and you want to know His voice, then you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to pursue Him. You're going to have to press into Him, and you're going to have to learn through intimacy with Him His voice so you can distinguish His way above every other way. You'll know His voice through intimacy with Him. Is this leading that we sense, is it full of mercy? Is it full of mercy? What is mercy? It's compassionate or kindly forbearance shown towards an offender, an enemy, or in another person in one's power, compassion, pity, or benevolence. Mercy is the disposition to be compassionate or forbearing with one another. In other words, if somebody is under my jurisdiction or under my control or under my authority, say I was a judge, if I was a merciful judge, then I would have compassion upon this individual. Even though they deserved probably a stricter sentence, mercy is saying, I'm not going to give you what you really deserve. That's God's way. That's what Jesus did for us. He says, I'm going to go in your place. I'm going to die in your place so that you don't have to pay the price for what you really deserve. I'm going to pay it for you because I love you and I want to show you mercy and compassion. I want to show myself to you. I want you to be my own. So if you're hearing an instruction or you sense God is speaking to you, it'll always be full of mercy. It won't be judgmental. It's not going to be this self-righteous, condemning, or critical spirit that some people think is God. They're going around and usually they're evaluating other people based upon their own standards and their own sense of what's righteous. We compare ourselves to other people, you know, and often people have an opinion of what is right based upon their own opinion without knowing what God has to say about it. Too many people don't even know what God says because they don't know what He says. Come on. They don't know God's ways. They don't know what He would do. So we just guess at it. And we think, well, I felt like God was saying this, or I feel like God is this way. You know what I'm saying, right? I felt that was God speaking to me. I felt like it was God speaking to me. I had goosebumps when they were talking about that. So it must be God because I had goosebumps. And has anybody beside myself been duped by their emotions before? It felt good at the time. Felt like the right thing to do. And then afterwards you're like, wow. Yeah. The fruit of that was not good. The non-judgmental attitude is refraining from making judgments, especially ones based on personal opinions or standards. Everybody here has an opinion, would you agree? And sometimes our opinions are not godly. Sometimes our opinions are completely warped because they are framed by the environment that we grew up in and not based upon the truth of God's word. So that's why we need to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. We need the word of God so that we know who God is, his ways, and how he works, so we can learn to distinguish his voice and discern between good and evil. Many people are duped into believing lies that they thought was true because it seemed right at the time. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, right? But in the end is the way of death. So we need to ask these questions. Is this leading going to bear good fruit? Or is it going to cause harm? Is this leading impartial? Am I driven by my own personal agenda? This is something that we constantly have to examine ourselves about, don't we? Is why do I do what I do? What is my motivation for doing it? And am I driven by just my selfish ambition? Or something that I think would be a good idea for me? Or am I being motivated by the love of God? We need to be motivated by the love of God. Amen? And in order for you to have God's heart and God's motive, you're going to have to die to your own. You're going to have to set your understanding aside, your opinion aside, your standards aside, because we all have standards that we could set for ourselves and think, well, that's a good standard. I think I'll make this my standard. Oh, that's your standard? Fine. And some people have no standards. But the standard that we are to abide in is the standard of Christ. He is perfect righteousness. Amen? So it's not enough for me to have an opinion about what is right and wrong. Everybody has an opinion. And today, even in the church, we have many opinions being presented from the pulpit, you know, about what's right and wrong. And now they're calling good evil and evil good. Things are getting flip-flopped even in the pulpits today because people don't know God. We may know about him, but you've got to know him, and you need to be able to discern his voice. So these are some of the ways that we can know that God is speaking. If it's not judgmental, it's of good fruits, it's not partial, you know, I'm not showing favoritism. It's sincere, it's consistent with my character, what I say and how I live my life. Wisdom that is not from heaven is in verse 14. It says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now remember, it was Lucifer who was puffed up in his pride, even in the presence of God. The same thing happens today in the church, folks. People get puffed up in their pride in the presence of God. And we start exalting our opinion against God's word, above God's word, and how we think it should be. And we even do stuff for God our own way. And it's an unclean, it's an unholy offering. We'll just do it any old way. You know, God has a way, doesn't he? He has a way for us. And what we do should be his way, not our way. In order for us to do his way, we're going to have to die to our way. We're going to have to get over ourselves and say, you know what? It's no longer about me. What we're doing here tonight is not about me. It's about Jesus and it's about his family. It's about the body of Christ now. It's not about me. It's not what I can get out of it. It's what can I give you? How can I bless you? How can I encourage your faith? How can I impart something to build you up? It's got to be about Jesus, isn't it? And, you know, we sometimes think, well, not me, I'm not like that. But folks, let's be honest and let's evaluate ourselves and really ask the question, who am I really living for? Who do I really live for? Do I really live for Jesus, or do I live for Jesus part-time? You know, like once in a while, like on Sunday morning or whenever we get together, I'll live for Jesus. Who am I really living for? Is my life totally given over to Him? Is He Lord? Have I died to my way, or am I full of my way? And then I just kind of add God to my life whenever it's convenient. You know, just like a little addition, like a patch on my life. I'll add a little God patch to me. But the rest of it is whatever I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And then if there's any time left over, I might give that to God. Maybe. Depends on how I feel that day. Are we really living for Jesus Christ? Is He really Lord of your life? I have to ask myself this question, and I have to do it all the time. I have to examine my motives for what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Even to get up here and speak to you today, why am I here? I pray, oh God, I don't want to play church. I don't want to get into some routine or pattern of just doing the thing and lose Jesus in the midst of it. Are you hearing me? If we don't have His presence, we don't have anything. If we're not led of the Spirit of God, we're not His children. That's very clear. If you're not led of the Spirit, then you're not His. It doesn't matter what we confess. We can say what we want, but our life will demonstrate whether our faith is genuine or not. And so James, in contrast, is saying, listen, this is how you can discern the voice of the opposite, the devil who wants to come through and work in your sensual or your soulish realm, that old Adamic nature. He wants to resurrect that. He wants you to self-esteem. He doesn't want you to deny yourself. He wants you to be full of yourself, full of your ambitions, full of your desires. And He doesn't want you to put those aside so that you can complete and do the will of God for your life. We're born with a fallen nature. This fallen nature wants to be its own God. Come on, we all struggle with that? And we don't want to have to submit that to another. But life, it will not work out for you unless you do so. Unless we submit ourselves to Christ and obey His voice, you know, we're going to be just living in vanity. We're going to be living an empty, vain, and really a hopeless existence. I have found that life is not in the things that I do, but life is in Him. He's my life. He's my joy. What is the wisdom that is not from heaven? James said it's earthly. That means it's carnal. It's not of the Spirit of God. And it's unspiritual. Now, people are talking about spirit. You hear people say, well, I'm spiritual. What do you mean by that? That's a very broad term, to be spiritual. Does that mean that you're following Jesus? Or are you just an open magnet for anything that happens to be flying by at the time? I'm just smooth spiritual. Yeah, you're going to get spiritual, all right. You're going to get infested, amen, through yoga and all this other stuff, meditation. Folks, this is right out of paganism. It's right out of Eastern mysticism. And what you're doing in that is you're opening yourself up like a book and saying, hey, anybody want to come in and play with me? And impersonators will come in and make you think that that's God. And you'll even have things appear to you, spirits, that will be beautiful to look upon. And say, I'm Jesus. We need to discern what is of God, what is not. We need to be able to know His voice. And so we need to ask these questions. If it's not of the Spirit, we've got to reject it, right? If it's of the devil, obviously. In other words, if I'm getting an impression to do something, I really need to say, God, I need to confirm, is this of you, Lord? Jesus, is this of you? You know, because we can jump into stuff, we can jump out in stuff, we can get, you know, on a tangent or do something that we felt was the right thing to do, but it can be completely a motivation by Satan. Yeah. And any one of us, even as followers of Jesus, can be duped by that. We have to be very careful. If we get an impression to do something or to prophesy or say something, we need confirmation from the Lord. Amen. Whether this is God or not. And we need to judge it by the Word of God, by these things. Is it peaceable? Is it of good fruits? Amen. Is it holy? Is it a pure thing? Is it going to build? Is it going to edify? So just because somebody says they're spiritual doesn't mean they're operating in the right spirit. Another thing we need to ask is, am I being motivated by envy? You know, is my Christianity a thing of, I want what somebody else has? If there's even the slightest feeling of that, we need to reject that leading. If we're envious of somebody, amen, we've got to be careful. People have done some kooky stuff. And I'm sure I have too, just because I saw somebody else doing something and I wanted what they had and I wanted to do what they did. But what I said this morning, I'll say tonight, is we need to discover who we are, what God has called us to do, find our contentment in our relationship with Jesus, and allow God to lead us and use us any way He desires. But unless you get into contentment with God and settle down in His presence, you're going to be, you know, trying to force things or make things happen. You're going to get into striving and you're going to get into trouble because you cannot force God's will. If God's in it, it is supernatural. It will be empowered by Him, and it will His will be accomplished without any effort from us. The only thing we need to do is to step out in faith to obey His voice. But we've got to know His voice in order to do that. Does the leading that I get, you know, does it produce disorder? Do you feel, you know, unsettled or without inner peace, and reject it? Is this wisdom that I'm getting something that's going to exalt me? Is it going to make me look good? You know, a lot of people pursue things, even spiritual things and spiritual giftings and things like that, because they believe that will make them look good. How many know that is a selfish ambition? That is a ungodly motivation, and it will lead you into the sensual and the demonic. People that are pursuing power without presence, without the relationship, without the humility. People that are pursuing power without purity are going to get into power, but it's not going to be God's power. And at first, they're going to have some control with that thing. Eventually, it's going to turn on them, and they're going to be under the control of that power. Because that's how the devil baits people. Say, hey, over here. If you follow me, I'll make you the center of attention. You can wow people with these little things that you're doing. These little tricks that you can do, you know, as you're working with demons and people are wowed by what you do, and eventually He's going to turn that thing right around. You got people like Chris Angel out there, you know, and others, David Blaine. These guys are messing around. They're going beyond just the sleight of hand. These guys are getting into the occult, and it's coming out of the closet now into the marketplace. And these guys, they're messing with something that is much greater than they are, and that if they do not repent, is going to destroy their soul in hell, because they're messing with demonic power. The power of God is greater, amen, but it comes through humility. It never comes because I'm trying to flaunt myself or get noticed. Amen. If you die to yourself, Get yourself out of the picture. And I really believe, folks, and this is what I believe the Lord spoke to me very clearly about. He says that the reason why many Christians are not fulfilling their destiny and they're not rising up in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is because they will not get themselves out of sight. We're too focused on how I appear, what people think of me, of being noticed. Many people are in ministry because it gets them noticed. Folks, that will lead into the sensual and the demonic. And it's happening quite a bit in the church today. There are people in pulpits who know that they are operating in demonic power, but because it's too great of a price for them to repent of, because why? They're getting money and they're getting recognition and they're getting famous, all right? And so they don't want to repent of that because they're afraid they'll lose what they have. So they continue in it. How do you know? How can you judge if it's of God? Well, the fruit of one's life will eventually tell on them. You'll know a tree by its fruit. So just because somebody has supernatural power and can manifest some gift doesn't mean it's from the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we really, again, be very careful with these things. We need to be able to discern and judge what is God saying so that when the enemy comes in and he tries to seduce you, you'll say, wait a minute, that's not my Jesus. I know his voice. I am acquainted with his voice. When he speaks, it's peaceable. It's of good fruits. It's pure. Amen? It's not partial. It's not hypocritical. It's full of mercy. When God speaks, it's full of mercy. It's not judgmental and negative and critical. Amen? When God speaks, when we hear prophetic utterances like tonight, when God speaks prophetically through us, it always builds. Even if God corrects us and takes us down a notch, it will always be redemptive. It will always produce good results. So even sometimes the word is painful that the Spirit of God gives us. But even when it's the Holy Spirit, when it is the Holy Spirit, you can say, ow, that hurt so good. Right? It hurt, but it was a good hurt. It was like, thank you, God. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for delivering me from this trap of my own devices. It's like Gail was saying earlier about, you know, we can run off and do our own thing, but we will mess it up every time. We've got to die to ourselves. We've got to get ourselves out of the picture. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We've got to take the attitude, amen, of Jesus, the attitude of Paul. Take upon ourselves the form of a servant. Humble ourselves, and then God will exalt you. And when he exalts you, no devil in hell can take you out. Amen. If he places you somewhere because you have gone through the process with him, you've trusted him, you've waited on him, you've obeyed the little instructions he's given you, no devil can take that away from you. If we are selfishly ambitious and we try to force or make something happen, you may have some success for a season. And you may get recognized and you might get big and you might get famous, but it will not last because God has not promoted you. You've promoted yourself. I want God to promote me. How about you? So I'm trying to be a good boy here. I'm trying to listen. Listen to his voice. And even though there's times I want to do something, I got to say, no, that voice was not Jesus. Are you hearing me? The enemy's constantly, he's like the spoiled kid or the kid that's always trying to get the attention. The class clown. You know, you're there to learn, you're there to listen to the teacher. And then the class clown rises up and causes a distraction. To do what? To get you diverted. To pay attention over there. The devil is screaming at us, folks. He's screaming for our attention. Hey, over here, over here. You know what I'm talking about. If we know the voice of God, we'll say, wait a minute, that's not the voice of the shepherd. We're not going there. Speak to the hand. Don't even speak to the hand. Don't speak at all. Now, how does this look? How does this work in the body of Christ when we're together in the realm of the Holy Spirit? And when we believe that we're discerning what we believe to be a supernatural prompting, but we're not certain it's from the Lord. Now, the Word of God gives us some guidelines, to help us understand when God is speaking to you in a church service. I want to talk about being in church now. How do we know if it's God? Now, we've all had times when we've had an impression, and it could have been from the Spirit, but we gave it at the wrong time. Just because you get something from God does not mean it's appropriate for that moment. That's as we grow, we learn that, right? And we have to have some grace for people to make mistakes so they can learn, like we're all learning together. I'm learning. But in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." The profit of all. So these are a few questions we need to ask ourselves before we step out in a service to operate a spiritual gift. Will this potential spiritual gift advance the common good? Number two, will it be a blessing to others or just to me? Is this for somebody else or am I just trying to get the attention? Number three, is it appropriate for this time and place? In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, "Pursue love." Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Does God want us to desire spiritual gifts? But is God's love the source and the motivation of the gift? That's what we need to determine. Is it God's love that is at the source and the motivation of this gift? In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So if I'm hearing from the Lord, I need to ask this question: will the impact of this gift do this, strengthen, encourage, or comfort others? Will what I'm about to release or speak out, will it strengthen? Will it encourage or will it comfort others? Or will it bring hurt, wound, or tear down someone? Sometimes people are operating out of a bitter spirit, an angry spirit, and they've got a beef with somebody, and so they're going to prophesy in church and let them have it. Have you ever been into that before? You ever sat and experienced that? And that kind of thing can poison the atmosphere of a service very quickly. We need to be very careful that we guard ourselves against these things, that we do not allow ourselves to operate out of selfish ambition or out of anger or with a vengeful spirit, but that whatever we do, it's going to be to motivate unto love and good works. It's going to build up God's people and not tear them down and not even the score or get even with somebody. That's not of God. "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The Lord is the one who avenges us." Amen? In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4, it says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself," builds up himself, "but he who prophesies edifies the church." In verse 12, it says, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let it be for the building up of the church that you seek to excel or grow in the Lord." Amen. Not for any other reason, not for selfish gain, not for recognition. It's not about us. It's about Jesus, and it is about my brother and my sister. Ask yourself, will this prophecy edify the church? Or is it just for me? Sometimes God speaks to us. as an individual, and he says, that's a word for you. And we think it's got to be for the whole church. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Sometimes the service is about apples, and all of a sudden an orange is introduced. You're talking about apples, and all of a sudden here comes an orange. It's like, huh? Now, that might have been a word, but it might have been a word just for that person. But it wasn't for the body. It wasn't for the public gathering, or it wasn't the right time, and it wasn't the right place. So, again, we need to discern the voice and the will of God and be careful about these things so that everything we're doing is to build up. Again, am I doing this out of love for others or to gain attention to myself? Whenever God is leading you in something, it will always, always, always agree with this word right here. It'll agree with Scripture. It will never contradict God's character or His ways or the principles of this book. Amen? The Word of God is the ultimate primary provision that we have so that we can know, we can discern what is the will of God, what is not of God, and what is of God. So, the ultimate question to ask is, does this leading line up with the clear statements of God's Word, the Bible? You know, there's a lot of stuff today that's being introduced as new revelation. People are getting new revelation today. There are certain things that are emerging today, new revelations. How many know that God doesn't change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character is steadfast. He is always the same. He's holy. He doesn't change like people. And sometimes we're trying to adjust God to fit us. Because, well, that was back in the old days they used to do that. But we're living in 2015 now. You got to get with the times. You got to get with the latest revelation of God. Be very careful. Yeah, come on, we got the revelation, don't we? How many know that word is timeless? The Bible is timeless. Amen. It is the eternal word of God. His word is forever settled in heaven. It is a living word. It is just as living today as it was when it was written. Because it was breathed by God. It was given by God through godly men. So we got to really judge everything by the word of God. Amen. And the question again was that you, Lord, do I recognize when Jesus is speaking? Am I able to discern God's voice? If you cannot discern God's voice, then you will be deceived. You will follow the wrong voice, and it will lead you into destruction. And you will not be able to know God's voice without a relationship, without intimacy with God, without spending time in the Bible, in the Word of God, getting to know His person, getting to know His character, allowing the Holy Spirit to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. So then we will know when God speaks in your life. You say, I have to make a decision. Should I take these classes or those classes? Should I pursue this career or should I do that? How am I going to know unless I have, amen, a relationship with Jesus where I know when God speaks to me? There's too many people that are in confusion and they can't tell when God is speaking to them because they're listening to too many voices. We've got to know God's voice. And do you know what? God wants us to know His voice. But He won't force revelation on us. He won't force us to get to know Him. He says, come unto me. Just come to me. I'll reveal things to you that you couldn't have known any other way. I'll show you great and mighty things that you knew not of. The Lord wants to reveal His heart, His purpose, His will for your life. And it's glorious. It's wonderful. It's awesome. But you've got to turn off the junk. Get the junk out. Shut down all the other voices. They're illegal for you. You need to know the voice of the shepherd. And when the enemy's over here screaming for your attention, trying to get you involved and spending your life and spending your time on vanity and things that mean nothing in eternity, We need to say, what is my priority? Do I really know Jesus? Do I want to really know him? If you really want to know the Lord, you will know the Lord. He will reveal himself to you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I want to be led of God's Spirit. I want to live for God. And the only way for me to do that is to die to myself. I have never regretted the times when I said, you know what, self, get out of the way. You're going to obey God. I'm dying to my right to be right, to be recognized, to be somebody. If you really want to be somebody, die to yourself. We are truly, in our natural man, our own worst enemy. And folks, that is a fact. There are people who, in their natural man, are able to do successful things in the world. They may have fame, spotlight, and money, and everything that they think that would make them happy, but they're impoverished, they're empty, and there's much suicide among the rich. Because they're putting all their eggs in the wrong basket. They're living for self. They're living for a fallen Adamic race. When we come into Christ, we become new creations. We're citizens of heaven. We're heavenly beings. We've been designed for a relationship with the living God to live forever and to fulfill the destiny for which we were created in this world. That is the highest calling. That is what we're called to. We're called to live for Him. There is no greater joy than fellowship with Him, than to know that we're walking in the will and the purpose of God. There is nothing that will satisfy you except the bread of God, which is the will of God for you. When will we learn? You know, we wander and we listen to those voices that are crying out, and then after a while we just get sick and tired of being sick and tired and being in this place of just deadness and ain't nothing happening. It looks so pretty, it looks so great, it looked like, man, that's going to really make me feel good or make me whatever. And then you get to a place of just disgust and busted and, you know, and say, man, I'm going to go back to my father's house. I'm going home. Are you kidding? I'm tired of eating pig food. I'm tired of this world. I don't want anything about this world. I'm sick of it. This world is not my home. I'm seated together with Him in heavenly places. I've been raised up together with Christ. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the Most High God. I get to be a citizen of heaven. I get to serve Him. I get to do what I do. You get to do what you do. Not because we deserve it, but because God is good and He wants to share His kingdom with us. Jesus said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what I want. I want the kingdom. I want the eternal. I want that which truly satisfies, and Jesus is who truly satisfies. Amen. Would you bow your heads tonight and just ask the question, Lord, how is it between you and I? What do I need to die to? What do I need to let go of so that I can have what you are trying to give me? Remember those dime store pearls? He may be asking you to give those things up because He has some genuine pearls for you. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to let go with whatever He says to let go of so you can have the genuine, the authentic, the true, the eternal riches that only He can give you? Are you willing to let go of your way, your ambitions, so that you can have His way? And you know the heart of the Father and the joy of fellowship. Maybe we just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been listening to the wrong voices again. And say, Lord, I want to know your voice. I want to know your voice, Lord Jesus. I want you to lead my life, Lord. I want you to guide me. I don't want my way, Lord. I know my way will lead me to destruction every time. I know, Lord, that I may gain the whole world, but I could lose my soul. And there's nothing I can give in exchange for my soul. I want you, Lord, and I want to live for you. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play games. I want to be sold out, Lord. I want to die to myself, and I want to live in you. I want you to live in me, Jesus.